Today I'm gonna teach on the rhema of God. Now, I was led by God to just put it this way, but how many of you know what the word rhema means? Simply, it just means the word. It means word. It's another Greek word for word. And actually, in the Greek, you have the word in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Amen. That's logos. And we're all familiar with the word logos, but we may not be as familiar with the word rhema. What God started showing me is some interesting things, and it's part of the reason why I'm going to try and share this with you, and hopefully you can start getting it a little bit, is the fact that I have noticed a change in what the word is doing to me. That there is an active kind of thing going on in my life because of the word, because of God's word. Amen. And you know, Jesus makes He makes a statement, and I'm gonna look it up for you real quick because I didn't add it, and I picked up on this later on. He actually makes a statement in John 3, he says this. He makes a statement. He says, "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth." All right? And Eva's kind of talking about this a little bit, that we have a choice to make. Are we going to be earthly, or are we going to be from above? Amen. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, he testifies. That he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He has received his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For whom God has sent, and Jesus is talking about himself. He's saying, God sent me. And he makes a statement. He says, "For whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure." For God does not give the Spirit by measure. Now, you got to understand the word logos really carries the meaning of, it carries the meaning of the word as in the totality, all of what God has to say. It also carries the concept of reason and understanding. Because the word is actually utilized, the root word is actually utilized in dealing with making account, reckoning, all of those kinds of things. The word rhema, and that's what the word is used here. When Jesus makes a statement, he says, "For whom God has sent speaks the words of God." And it's plural. He doesn't say word of God, he says words of God. And that's the word rhema in the Greek. The word rhema, by definition, just means an utterance, whether it's individual or a collection of utterance of things that have been spoken, or something specific. There defines it as a saying of any sort, as a message or narrative. Now, what I want you to try and get a hold of, because I'm going to share some things with you that are going to be very important if you can get a hold of it. All right. There's a difference between the word, like what we have in our Bibles, and then the word that's alive and active. The word that's alive and active, and that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, "He who was sent speaks the words of God." And everything Jesus taught was rhema. It was God's word that was active and alive by the Spirit of God, sent from God through Jesus to give us life. Now, I know I hound you guys all the time about being in the Word. I hound you all the time about, keeping your faith built up, staying in the Word. I know I do that. But there's a reason, because when the Word suddenly becomes active and alive to you, and it's not always like that, there comes a point when there's a connection made between your spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the rhema. And when that happens, things begin to happen in your life in a really positive way. Now, I'm going to jump in here and share some things with you. And as I do that, you'll begin to see, hopefully, you'll begin to see what this rhema does, what the Word of God as His rhema, His spoken living Word does. How many of you have ever heard a teaching or something that just came alive to you? Right? It came alive to you. That's rhema. That's rhema. How many of you have heard a message that was the word, but it didn't really come alive to you and you just kind of like heard it, but it didn't do anything. That's logos. Now, sometimes the difference is you may not be fully ready for that kind of a message. You may not be in the mind space to hear that message. You may not be open to hearing it. You may not be in a state where your faith can grab onto what's being said. And so that word remains logos to you. It doesn't really do anything for you. But when the word is spoken and there's life, amen. When the word is spoken and there's life in that word, amen, that's rhema. And it begins to affect you in many ways. And I'm going to go through some of those ways that it affects you. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 says, Jesus, then being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So we are required to eat bread, right? I mean, Jesus is not discounting us eating food. You know, we need to nourish our bodies. But he says, man shall not live by bread alone. What does he say? He says, but by every word of God. By every. Now listen to me carefully. Say every. By every word of God. Every word. And that word there, right there, when Jesus says by every word of God, it's the word rhema. It's not the word logos, it's the word rhema. Because what rhema is the particular reality of the word, pieces of the word that are being pulled out of the logos, that are being transmitted and given over to the people. When God shows you something from the word, and all of a sudden something comes alive to you, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. That's rhema happening to you. And it's sad because it doesn't happen that much. Am I telling the truth or telling a lie? And it's because of us, mostly. It's not because of God. God is always wanting to pour rhema out on us. And it's the rhema of God that we live by. Do you understand that? It's the rhema of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, the word of God. That's spoken, that comes alive. And it when it does, it feeds you. It feeds you. Amen. Now this becomes important. All right? Because how do you stay strong? How do you stay strong in the word? How do you stay strong spiritually? How do you stay strong enough to go with God, to know that you're okay, to know, you know, Eva talked about the rapture, to know if and when the rapture comes, glory to God, you know you're going to be in it. It's because you are being fed up on the rhema. It's alive in you. Rhema is very powerful, though the you know that word. We could almost call it the revealed word of God, but really, you know, it's when we have the ears to hear, when we have the heart to receive, and we let the word get in us. And as we do that, and God begins to unlock the reality of the word in us, and it becomes alive, when it does that, that's when you're getting fed. That's when you're getting straightened out. You'll see, look at, you'll see. I'll keep going. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone. Amen. But by every word. That word live there, man shall not live, is the word zao. So where we the noun zoe was where we get it from. Zao is the verb form. And look at what zao promises. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. In other words, you know, you can get one thing, but that's not enough. God wants you to see all of his rhema come alive to you. He wants it all affecting and impacting you, filling your being. Because it has a job to do in your life. The living rhema has a job to do in your life. Now, the word logos, we know that that's living and powerful. That's Hebrews chapter 4, 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's logos. So I'm not diminishing logos. I'm just saying that God begins to give you pieces of his word, pieces of truth, pieces of reality, and we're to live by every one of those. Amen. So never be satisfied. Always be hungry for more. Let God feed you and build you up. Amen. All right. Now, John 6:63. It says, it is the Spirit who gives life. It is the Spirit. Now, John 3 was earlier. Jesus said that he who was sent by God speaks the words of God. Amen. And then you go on down to John 6. And it says, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. Who gives life? The Holy Spirit, right? It's the Holy Spirit who gives life. And the word gives life there is actually the word zoopoeo. And it means to revitalize. It means to cause to live, to make alive, give life by spiritual power to arouse and invigorate. The Spirit, by spiritual power, arouses you, raises you up, wakes you up, and invigorates you. Amen. Of the Spirit, quickening as respects the Spirit, endued with new and greater powers of life. So as God makes you alive, as he gives life to you, he gives power, he gives greater power, he gives, and it's all in regards to the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Amen. Let's go on. Jesus makes a statement. He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh, which we have a tendency to live and walk by. Amen. Because if you look at the flesh, it just means body. Or used of natural or physical origin, generation or relationship, the sensuous nature of man, the animal nature. So it can mean anything from the carnal side of man to just the physical body. The flesh profits nothing. It is useful or advantageous for nothing. The flesh profits nothing. So if we live by the flesh, if we give place to the flesh, guess what? We're not gaining anything out of it. Amen? We're not gaining anything out of it. It's the Spirit that gives life. We're not gaining anything out of the flesh. And the last part here is the real kicker. It says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words. This is Jesus talking. The words. Rhema. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life. The words I speak to you are spirit and life. They're spirit and life. God is giving us he's trying to give us, look at the direct connect. This is what you got to get out of John 6:63, and I never saw this before until last night. God showed me. He says, it's the Spirit that gives life. And we all go, yeah, it's the Spirit that gives life. So I got to. No. He said, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. My words are spirit. And they are life. The rhema is what ties you directly to the Holy Spirit, feeding life into your being, into your body, into your mind. We know that the Holy Spirit gives life to our mortal flesh. Romans 8:11 tells us that. It gives life to our mortal body. But how does it give that life to us? It does it through the word, through the rhema. The rhema fills us with that life. So the more you spend time going after the words of God, the rhemas of God, and you allow that rhema to become your connection to the Spirit, your connection to life, he feeds you with that life. And the Holy Spirit gets strengthened inside of you. Well, the Holy Spirit's already strong. Yeah, he is. He is who he is. He's God. But his strengthening is his connection to you personally. It strengthens his connection to you personally. So it's not just about the word. The word feeds you life, but that word, that rhema, feeds you direct connection to the Spirit of God. And God is able to begin to talk to you. I have always known this, that God cannot talk to us if we're not in the word all the time. I've always known this. And sometimes he'll talk to you through a scripture. You may have a question about something and he'll give you a scripture for it. You know, but people are like, I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Well, You need to get the word in you to do that. Because there are many voices in the land, as Paul says. There are many voices. Most of them are ungodly voices. But if you want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you've got to get the rhema inside of you. The rhema is the connection that opens the door for the Holy Spirit to begin to connect and speak to you. Man, I'm telling you, it's been a trip. I have been experiencing God talking to me more lately than I have in a long time. And it's not because I'm not connected to God. It's not because I'm not listening. It's not because I'm not praying. But as of late, there's been something going on with me about rhema. I've been connecting to this rhema, and God has been doing some incredible things more and more. The other day, I was getting ready to pray for somebody, and that is dealing with physical things in their body. And I was getting ready to pray, and I was just kind of cruising along, and God told me, he just spoke to me. He just said, faith always works. It's like, man, I need to pray in the Spirit for a while, Lord. And he goes, no, faith always works.
Exactly.
Faith always works. Faith always works. Faith always works. And what's one of our favorite scriptures? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the word of God. That word there is the word rhema. That's rhema. That word is rhema. It is not logos. It's rhema. It's that active, that word that's alive to you. That's God speaking directly. He's speaking his words out, and you're getting them. And when he said faith always works, it's like, okay. And so I ended up praying for this person, and it was like a roaring lion coming through me as I was praying. I'm like, oh my God, where did that come from? Because I believed God. Faith always works. It doesn't fail. It always works. Well, my faith ain't working. Well, that's your problem. That's because you ain't got none. You might want to think about that for a little bit. All right. I'm not saying you don't have any. You're not, there's a lot of things involved in that. Amen. I'll just leave it there. Okay. I don't want to start preaching on that yet. I'll get there. Amen. So his words are spirit and their life. His rhema is spirit and it's life. It's what you get life by. It's what you get fed by spiritually, that rhema. And it's also spirit. He's tying it directly to the Holy Spirit, tying it directly to life. Amen. Isn't God awesome? John 15:7, you all know this one, or you should. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. Shall be done for you. If you abide, which means just to remain and stay in me, and my words abide in you, stay and remain in you, you will ask what you desire. And that word desire is the word thelo, which means what you determine, what you choose, what you prefer, simply to wish, by to be inclined to, by Hebraism, to delight in. If you abide in me and my word, my rhema abides in you, you will ask what you will, and it'll be done for you. Guys, so the key here, and Jesus said that God sent him to speak the words of life, to speak the words of God. God sent him to speak the words of God. Your New Testament is filled with rhema. It's filled with God speaking words to you, to teach and instruct you. And you're to live by that, not just by one or two or three, but by every rhema of God. Everything that God can get a hold of you. He wants you to be saturated with it and hungry for more. You ever notice when you eat a lot of carbs, like, you know, processed carbs, like potato chips and cookies? Right? You ever notice you never get full? You always want to eat more and more and more, and usually empty the bag out. So you have to stop because you're out. That's what got me in trouble. That's the way God wants us to be with his rhema, except it's not deceitful food. This is living food. You eat more and more and more, and you're never full. You're ready for more. Amen? Hallelujah. So if your words abide in us, if his words abide in us, we can ask what we desire, and it will be done. If his rhema abides in us, we can ask what we desire, what we will, and it'll be done. Amen. Ephesians 5:24 says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ. Now, I'm not going to talk about husbands and wives. So, well, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, this is why I had to put this in here, was because Jesus loves the church and he gave himself for us. He gave himself for you. Right? Verse 26 of Ephesians 5 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse her. And the word sanctify there means to separate from profane. That's what it means out of there. It means to separate from profane. And profane means irreverent and disrespectful and wicked. To sanctify means to separate. So God's out to, Jesus is, he's sanctifying his church. He's separating his church from the profane, from the irreverent, from the disrespectful and the wicked. To separate from the profane, from profane things, and dedicate to God. So it's not just to dedicate us to God, it's to separate us from the world, to separate us from all ungodliness, all worldliness. And you know, John says this in 1 John. He says, you know, love not the world for all that is in the world, nor the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away. Amen. We're not to love it anyway, right? We're not to love it. So guess what? Jesus, that he might sanctify and cleanse. And the word cleanse there is the word katharteso, and it means in a moral sense to free from defilement of sin and from faults. So even if you got sin, even if you have faults, even if you have been in sin, or you know, well, right now you're not in sin, obviously, because you're sitting in church. So, you know, you have been in sin. Jesus wants to cleanse you from all of that. He hasn't given up on anybody. His goal is to set you apart from the world to him, to dedicate to him, and then cleanse you of all the garbage that's in there, whether it's sin or it's faults. You know, things that, you know, make us unlovable. But that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing. And the word washing there means bathing, the act of bathing. Get this. This is trippy if you get it right. With the washing of water by the word, rhema. How is God going to clean his people up? He's going to clean us up by washing us down with rhema. The more rhema you get, the more it begins to cleanse you. You ever notice in order for you to get in the flesh, you have to walk away from prayer and walk away from getting his word? You can't do them both at the same time. It's hard. So, he's going to wash you. This is the power of rhema. It washes you. Now, this is where I really want to bring what's been going on in my life a little bit more personally here, is that the more I have been spending time I have a set of scriptures, a list of about 50 scriptures I go through every day. And then I read my Bible verses, I read my Bible chapters and so on. And then I do my study and all that kind of stuff that I got to do. But I have noticed lately that there's been this subtle change, this subtle impact going on in me. Because the more I've read my scriptures, the more I've wanted them, the more I realize I need them and stuff. When I find myself, when I'm reading them, they're making this these simple adjustments going on inside of me as I read each one of the verses. Things continue to like switch around. And I'm not even trying. It's not even like I'm really conscious of anything specific. I'm noticing that the word is beginning to, it's beginning to cleanse me. It's beginning to set me apart to him more. I find myself wanting to live and walk by faith more. I find myself wanting to honor God more, to serve God more, to do more for God. Amen. You know, I mean, as a matter of fact, it's been years, guys. And it's been years for me since I've had an opportunity to pray for somebody, pray with somebody to be born again. And I finally got, I was sitting there one day just kind of going through this process and noticing it and just washing me and stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like, Lord, I want more fruit, man. And I know that I'm providing fruit, you know, by preaching and helping you guys as much as I can, praying for people, ministering to people and so on. But I want some outside fruit. I've been giving as much as I can, but I wanted some outside fruit. I wanted something, you know, I miss being able to pray for people, and I'm not an evangelist. And I said, Lord, give me, I'm asking for opportunity, an opportunity to win a soul, to win souls. And so I got a call from somebody that the last I remembered, they were completely turned off to God, didn't want anything to do with God, didn't want anything to do with religion. And that person called up and God had changed their hearts. It was one of my family members. And God had changed their hearts. And they knew that God loved them and they just had never. And they were calling up for prayer for something that they were going through in their body. And so I got to ministering to them. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not letting you get away. I didn't tell them this, but I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not letting you get away without a chance to get you saved. You know, get you born again. And you know, I told him, I said, you know, I went through and shared the word with them and stuff like that. And just, I knew them very well. I knew where they were coming from. And I said, are you ready? Are you ready to make the step? Because you know what? I know you love God and I know God loves you. There's no question about it. But there's this thing called sin that's stopping you from being able to get close to God. And even though you love God, you've got to deal with that. That's why Jesus came. He came to deal with the issue of sin in our lives. And I said, and right now we can pray and you can turn yourself over to Jesus and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And, you know, you'll be saved. You know, you get your name written in the book of life. And I said, do you want to do that? And they go, absolutely. And so we prayed. It was awesome, man. Talk about, you know, ripe fruit just falling into my hands. Just ripe fruit. God just gave it to me. Here, that's yours. And it was awesome. Amen. But it's that kind of a thing. The word is beginning to do things to me and I'm seeing stuff that I've not seen before. You know, just how the word is becoming. And it's because I've spent, I'm just going to say it this way, hundreds of hours, maybe, you know, hundreds of hours going over the same scriptures over and over again, refusing to let them become rote and opening my heart up every time I receive them. I'm starting to sense these scriptures coming alive in a way I never saw before. And just begin to feed me. They feed me. They keep me going. Amen. That's why I tell you, get your set of scriptures. It doesn't have to be 50. I just ended up there. I'll bring it back down to 40 or 30. I mean, you know, as time goes on, I do take some out, but there's this core that I never change. They're the same and they'll be with me from here on out. I mean, that's just the way it is. But you get a hold of the rhema. God starts making things come alive to you, inside of you in ways that you never imagined. And it cleanses you. It washes you. It begins to set you apart to God. That's the power of the word. You want to get back to God? Get in the word and get hungry for that rhema. Just say, God, I'm hungry for your word. You know, give it to me, Father. And as he gives it to you, don't just let it go. Take it. Make it yours. Something really speaks to you out of the word. Make that a permanent scripture that you review on a daily basis. Some days it'll be alive and powerful, and some days you'll just kind of go over it and move on. But when it becomes alive and powerful, when you need it, it'll become alive and powerful. God will use those scriptures to keep feeding you and keep you strong. I mean, we all eat food, right? How much is there really difference in food? You got protein, you know, carbohydrates, and fats. Basically, three things. And so how are you going to fill your protein? How are you going to fill your fats? How are you going to fill your carbohydrates? Hopefully, it's not going to be that cheap carbohydrates that hurt you. Amen? I hate vegetables, but I eat them. My wife will make me dinner, man. She'll make me dinner and, oh, she'll make me dinner and there'll be a wonderful steak. And on the side of it will be broccoli. So I wolf down the broccoli real quick and then I take my time eating my steak. I get the vegetables out of the way. I do love celery though, man. Celery is my favorite vegetable. I love celery. I eat it all the time. Every day at lunch, I'll grab me some celery stalks and stuff. She keeps me stocked up with celery. I mean, I just have me some celery stalks every day. Isn't God good? Amen. Your word will cleanse you. Ephesians 6, 16 through 17. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Taking. That word taking there is the word analambano. It means to take up. All right? And there adds to that. It says to take up a thing in order to carry or use it. Take up a thing in order to carry or use it. Amen? All right. And taking up the shield of faith. So God's calling you to take it up and use it, right? Take it up and put it to work. And which of you will be able to, and with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So everything the devil throws at you, all the lies, all the things, even when it's, you know, even when your body is kind of agreeing with it, even when your body is agreeing with it, you just quench that with your faith. Amen. Say, no, you don't have that power over me. And then he goes on to say in verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation. And again, the word take, there's the word dekomai, which means this is a different word. That's why I put the two of them in there, is because this one here, you know, where faith, you have to pick it up. You have to get a hold of it and pick it up and take it with you. Faith is something that's your responsibility. Amen. That's something you do. But look what he says. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. And that word take there is the word dekomai, which means to receive. There defines it as to take with the hand, to take up, to receive. Amen. So you receive it, you make it yours. Say, make it mine. See, lambano means you got to go grab it and take hold of it, pick it up and go walk with it, right? Dekomai carries the concept of it being put in your lap, in your palm, and then you got to close your fist around it and make it yours. It's like a gift. Somebody gives you a gift. You have to receive that gift. You got to take it and make it yours. I've been there, but I know some of you get Christmas gifts and you never do anything with them, you know, and you get something from somebody and it's like, what am I going to do with this? And you turn around and give it to somebody else. You re-gift it. Did you receive that gift? No, you did not. You don't receive anything until you make it yours and you start putting it to work, right? So they're slightly a little bit different. But look what it says here. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So he's using the same word, dekomai. Take the sword of the Spirit. Receive it. Make it yours, which is the word of God. Rhema. Rhema is the word of God. One scripture. How did Jesus defeat the devil out there in the wilderness? How did he defeat him? The devil said, hey, you're the Son of God. Tell these stones to turn to become bread. You know? And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out. What did he say? Jesus is saying right here, he's taking the word and using it as a weapon against the devil. And it shut the devil up. Satan went about, he just dropped that one and went on to the next one. Jesus answered that one with a scripture, with a word. He dropped that one, went on to the next one. Jesus answered that one with a scripture. And guess what? At the end of those three temptations, the devil had nothing more to do. He left. Right? The word defeats the devil. But only the rhema.
Right.
The word that's alive and active and you know it's yours. You got to know it's yours. This is mine. And when you do that, it now becomes a weapon in your hand to turn against the devil, to turn against anything that's coming against you. Devil comes in and says, you got symptoms. Your chest is starting to hurt. It's tightening up. What's your response? Run to the doctor, call an ambulance. Never before you say, no, devil, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. By his stripes, I was healed. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I take authority over you. I take authority over my heart. I command it to function perfectly as it ought to function. Jesus said, you know, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say this sycamine tree be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea and it would obey you. That word's alive and active in me, man. I just take authority over things. And it goes. And it's because the word is alive and active. I'm using it as a weapon. One night I woke up in the middle of the night and I was having a hard time breathing. I was like, man, my chest was all weird and stuff. And all of a sudden, this fear hit me. I mean, hit me. You're dying right now. And I sat there for a second. I said, Father God, your word says that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. You've not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And so, Satan, I believe the word. I believe that's not God. I take authority over it. And then I prayed. And I said, Father, I'm just going to rest in peace right now, knowing that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Knowing that, Father God, you're the one. You've already done the work. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's a rhema for me. I don't know about you. But redeemed from the curse of the law is a rhema to me. There's no sickness or disease I'm not free from. And so, you know, it went away. I laid back down, went to sleep, woke up totally fine. Had no problem since then. Devil's a liar.
Yes.
Amen. But boy, he'll take advantage if you give him an opportunity.
Yes.
Last scripture, Hebrews 1:1. Through verse 3, says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Jesus is appointed. He's placed. He's set. He's the heir. He's the one that owns all things. Say all things. Because you know everything Jesus inherits, we're joint heirs of. And Jesus inherited all things. We're joint heirs of that. Go look at Romans 8. I think it's verse 10, 11, or 12. Somewhere's in there. I just thought I threw that in there for free. Through whom also he made the worlds. He made the worlds through Jesus. Who being, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. By the word of his power. Upholding there is the word pharaoh, and it means to carry or to bear, to carry along, to carry, sometimes to carry the burden of even. All right? And it means to uphold, to keep from falling. He upholds all things. How? By the word of his power. And that word there is the word rhema. By the active spoken word that either came from God or came from Jesus. Jesus is the Logos. He's the sum total of everything that God has spoken. We have it all in Christ. And we have it all in his word. Because he is the word. And the word is him. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Rhema, living, active, powerful, the word of his power, the spoken word of his power. Dunamis, miraculous power. He's upholding it all. Through that, listen to me. Just as I said to you earlier about the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, the Spirit is life, right? Jesus said, Spirit is life, the flesh profits nothing. You know, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And just as the word, the rhema, connects us to the Spirit of God, it connects us to the life of God. It also connects us to the power of God. Because he's upholding all things, not by his power, but by the word of his power. By the word of his power. In other words, his power is made manifest through his words. And if you have that word in you, if you get the word in you, you've got the power. You're connected to the power of God as well. Faith in that draws it all together and makes it become active. And I've noticed more and more that as I've understood this, as I began to understand this, there's this living side of the word that God wants us to walk in also, where the word becomes more and more alive to us. And the Spirit and the word are one. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the word, so the Holy Spirit's the word too. Jesus said it's not the letter of the law, it's not the letter of the covenant. It's the Spirit of the new covenant that gives life. The letter of the new covenant kills. It's the Spirit of the new covenant. It's the life. It's that activity. It's that reality of the word that gives us that life, that gives us the power, that gives us connection to the Holy Spirit. So now make it your goal to start getting a hold of the words of God, the rhema of God. And not just, you know, some scripture memory or some scriptures that you know in your head. Amen? But get in there and let it become alive to you. Because when the word becomes alive to you, it's already in your heart. Amen? And the more you stay with it, the more it'll become alive to you. The more you focus on it, the more you think about it. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this. The excuse of not knowing how to read, the excuse of not... of not being able to study, the excuse, there is no excuse, people. God's going to ask us, what did we do with his word? What did we do with his word? What did we do with the life that he gave us in his word? Amen. If you get one verse, man, get one verse and start working that and watch what God does. It only takes one to get you started. Amen. Well, praise God.